Praise the Lord. We have a new subject today, a new series. It's called Angelology. Today is part one. And the Bible text is Genesis 1:1, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We are starting a new series about angelology and demonology, satanology. This is a teaching and the knowledge about angels and the knowledge about demons. There are so many things happening in the world today. We have to understand what really is happening. We have the decline in America. We have the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about USA. It has no relevance in the Bible. Many in the world have a big dream to go to America and they think it's heaven on earth. What is more interesting is what is happening in Europe and in Israel. The Revelation is talking a lot about these countries, and you can see the rise of Europe as a political power and also as a military power with NATO. In the Revelation, Russia is the enemy of Israel. Praise the Lord. In Revelation, China is also an enemy of Israel, and so is Africa, the African countries. The war in Ukraine is not over. It's not over yet. It may lead to a bigger crisis, may even lead to a world war. We pray it will not. When you study the world leaders, what they say and what they do, you see that the world is on the move. The world is talking about earth warming, is talking about climate change. They talk about natural catastrophes and famines. They talk about pandemics and control of the mind of people. Artificial intelligence, 5G, Internet of Things and people. We must understand that behind all these things are powers and principalities. You may go into your day as usual, you get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home, you eat in between, and you don't think of the spiritual life that is happening at the same time. You may think about the problems that you have with your finances, but you have to think about the spiritual behind it all. You may think, how can I solve it? And I tell you, you cannot, because there are powers behind unless you submit unto Christ. You try to protect yourself and you forget the things of the spiritual world. Whatever happens in our seen world is happening at the same time simultaneously in the unseen world. If a country wants to attack another country, they first find out about the enemy, how he functions, what weapons he has. And you wonder, can I overpower him? The world is wise. But many Christians, they think we don't need to know anything about Satan's functions. He's our enemy. In the beginning is God. In the beginning is God. From everlasting to everlasting. When Moses asked God, "What is your name?" He said, "I am." There is no past, there is no future, just I am always existing. Before the creation of the world, he created heavenly beings, the seraphim, the cherubim, the angels, the archangels, and living creatures, and Lucifer, the highest of the cherubs. They have different positions, different purposes in life to fulfill. They are mentioned in different books of the Bible more than 230 times. The Word of God teaches that angels were the first, highest order of created things. There is a host of angels, but we don't know if they were created one by one or if they were created all at once. We know they do not produce like humans do. They are immortal, they're infinitive, spirit beings that are not subject to death. They were created perfect, and their number doesn't change. Certain angels violated the will of God and the purpose for which they were created. Each one will have to give an account unto God. We don't know how long after the creation of the angels was passed until the world was created. We know that when God created the world, angels were present. They were already there. And Paul is talking about celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. The spiritual, the glorified saints, they will have a spiritual body. So we can imagine that angels have a certain form which is adapted to the law of their being. After Jesus Christ was raised, he said to his disciples, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have." So we don't know how angelic bodies look like. We have many pictures, but that are imaginations of the painters. Revelation gives only a description, the Bible gives only description of angels in Revelation, but also in Isaiah and Ezekiel and some other books. But it's just describing what the righteous human would understand. The form of angels we will only see once when we go to heaven. We will see how they really look like. Even the number of angels is not clear. Revelation 5:11 says 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Hebrews 12:22 says an innumerable company of myriads. Daniel 7:1 says thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And Luke 2:13 says a multitude. And Matthew 26:53 it says legions. So the number of angels is immense, beyond our understanding. It is generally understood that the throne of God and the abode of the angels are in heaven. In Psalm 103, verses 19 to 21, It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. So it clearly says the throne of God is in heaven. The Bible word which is used for heaven has different meanings. And so also in Genesis 1:1 it says, when God created the heaven and the earth, some Bibles translate the heaven, but actually in Hebrew it's heavens in plural. So God has created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, this form is in plural, which means that there are at least three heavens. In 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul tells that he knows a man who was caught up into the third heaven. He knows a man who has caught up into the third heaven. That means there is also a first and a second heaven. The location of heaven, of which Paul talks of, is not revealed. We don't know where it is. It is the heaven of heavens. In 1 Kings 8:27, it says, behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. So he also speaks of different heavens. The heavens reveal his glory. It's also the abode of angels who beheld the unveiled God of the Lord. It is the heaven of the redeemed who will be with the Lord forever. Once we are raptured, once we are going up, we will be with him always. The second heaven will be the starry heavens. It's identified by such references as the stars of heaven in Genesis 26:4. He made the stars also, he made the sun and the moon. The firmament shows his handiwork. And so it says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The first heaven will be the atmospheric heaven. Matthew 8:20 speaks of the birds of heaven. Matthew 24:13 speaks of the clouds of heaven. And Genesis 7:11 speaks of the window of heaven. These distinctions are important for our study of angelology. It's clear from the Bible that all angels were created good, according to God's sovereign purpose. It's also clear that a great multitude of the angelic order left their first abode, their first estate where God has put them. In fact, it's one third of all the angels that left heaven. They left the presence of God and followed Satan. The heavenly places or lower heavens stand for the unseen spiritual realm in which these fallen angels now have a temporary habitation. This is an important factor in our study of Satanology. The Bible reveals various ranks or orders representing governmental authority or supremacy among the angelic hosts, as mentioned in Colossians 1:16. It says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." The Bible is talking about angels in the heavenly sphere of governmental rule and authority. Another order of exalted celestial beings are cherubim and seraphim. They are excellent spirit beings of the angelic order, closely related to those and zealous for the majesty, the holiness, the unceasing worship of the Lord of hosts. The cherubim. The first appearance of cherubim is in the Garden of Eden. God sent them to guard the way to the tree of life. We read in Genesis 3:24. "So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Cherub is a singular, and cherubim is the plural. On the Ark of Tabernacles that God ordered Moses to create, he told him, "Create two cherubim and cover them with gold." They were to be carved in one part with the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt in the midst of his people. Therefore it says in Psalm 81, Psalm 81, it says, "That thou dwellest between the cherubim." Thou dwellest between the cherubim. The curtain in the tabernacle and the veil of the temple were embroidered with a pattern of cherubim. The meaning of cherub means to cover, to guard, or to protect. The cherubim guarded the way to Eden. Lucifer was appointed as a covering cherub. He belonged to the order of cherubim. Their high and holy position, closely related to the throne of Jehovah, suggests an attendance that they are attending, ready to be sent from the throne as guardians, coverers, defenders of the absolute holiness. The living creatures mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 1, in his vision of the Shekinah glory of the Lord, identified with the cherubim. Seraphim is a word occurring only in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered his feet, and with two he flew." One of the seraphim brought a burning coal to touch the lips of Isaiah to make his words holy. It's the ministry of purification and unceasing worship. These glorious beings are expressive in their holiness, which demands cleansing before serving. With what reverence we should approach the throne of the majesty of God. That seraphim, they covered their faces, they covered their feet. How should we approach our God? With unceasing praise and adoration. Three celestial princes are named in the Bible. Lucifer means son of the morning. Michael or Mikael means like God. And Gabriel means the mighty one. Lucifer was the most exalted of the angels, most exalted by creation and appointments. He occupied the place of prominence in the Bible, second only to the Trinity of the Godhead. But by his sin, the first created being to cross the will and purpose and the word of God, of the Creator, he became the devil. He appears about 40 times throughout the Bible with different names. Michael, this distinguished angel, is named 5 times in the book of Daniel, in Jude, and the Revelation. He is referred to as standing for Daniel's people, for the Jews. He is regarded as a heavenly patron of Israel and the watchful guardian of God's people against both earthly and satanic foes. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, Michael is called one of the chief princes. This term means that there are also other angelic beings, otherwise he couldn't be a prince of others. In Daniel, in the book of Daniel, we find a reference to the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. These mighty angels have fallen and are corrupted, appear to be subservient to Satan, who is called the prince of demons, or the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of the world. It is Michael who opposes Satan in dispute concerning the body of Moses in Jude verse 9. It is Michael who leads the angelic army in heaven against that old servant called the devil and his angels, in Revelation 12:7. In Jude 9, Michael is called an archangel, the archangel. There is no plural for archangel. There is only one. Michael is the unnamed archangel whose voice will be heard when Christ descends from heaven and his saints are raptured in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So the rank of archangel is mentioned only 2 times and is applied to the mighty prince of angels, Michael. Gabriel is mentioned 4 times in Daniel and Luke. He is not identified as an archangel. Yet his name means the Mighty One. While Michael is a messenger of law and judgment, Gabriel is a messenger of mercy and promises. It was Gabriel who brought the message to Zechariah, announcing the birth of John the Baptist. And it's Gabriel who appeared and brought the announcement to Mary that the Savior would be born. It was Gabriel who was sent by God from heaven with the answer to the fervent prayers of Daniel. After being delayed by a contest with Satan's servants, Gabriel brought a revelation of most importance to the praying prophet, telling him of what is to come to his people. Now, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning. Actually, as we have seen, the beginning was before that. When he created the angel, that was the real beginning. The Bible only talks of the beginning of the material world. The beginning of creation of angels was long before, maybe billions or trillions of years before the world was created. But then we have to understand, in the spiritual world, there is no time. Is timeless. Time was created for the world. When God created the world, he said, there was morning, there was evening, the first day. So that is when time was coming to the earth. Now today we have only an introduction to angelology, because the subject is huge. This is needed to understand the rest of this study that we will learn over the next few weeks. Of all there was and is yet to come, we are grateful to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, for our salvation. We are not afraid of demonic powers, because in Christ we have the victory. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and of evil, and has transferred us into the kingdom of God and of his Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. May God bless you. May you have understood and learned something. And join us next week as we continue with this subject.